Congressman Charlie Dent is chairman of the House Appropriations Subcommittee on Military Construction, Veterans Affairs, and Related Agencies. And the MILCON bill, Mr. Chairman, is one of the most usually not contentious. This year, a few items in there that are a little more contentious. The parameters of the bill, $76.6 billion. That's $4.6 billion over the level for fiscal 15. Where does the extra money go in this year's bill? Thank you for joining me, Mr. Chairman.
Well, first, let me say that we have provided for a record unprecedented funding for the VA. The funding level this year is 6%, nearly 6% over last year's level. So this is an extraordinary increase to support the VA. The bill provides comprehensive support for service members, military families, and veterans. It supports our troops with facilities and services necessary to maintain readiness and morale at bases here in the states and around the world. It provides for the Defense Department schools and health clinics that take care of our military families. And the bill funds our veterans' health care systems, and that's where a lot of our additional money went to providing for the direct support for the health of our veterans. And so we're providing that support to the healthcare systems to ensure that our promise to care for those who've sacrificed in defense of our nation continues as those men and women return home. We owe this to our veterans and are committed to sustained oversight so that the programs delivered what they promised. And we also have to make sure that taxpayers are well served by the investments we're making. And so we're providing for more robust oversight, too, of the VA with additional funds for the Inspector General, who has been very busy this last year.
The funds for the IG office are one thing, and I know that your role as the chairman of the subcommittee doesn't involve the selection or approval or even input on a permanent Inspector General there. But is that a factor at all, the fact that VA's IG is currently acting, as you consider the resources that you allocate for that office?
Well, we met with the IG. We had him before our hearing about a month ago, and all I can say is that we are providing additional support to the Inspector General in that office. As I said, they're busy. They're doing a lot of important work. They just released a report recently on the situation at the Philadelphia Regional Veterans Affairs Office, where disability claims have not been processed in a timely or efficient manner, and there's just been epic failure there. So I believe that we are providing the support necessary to support the IG. Certainly want to make sure that situation becomes permanent as opposed to acting.
Mr. Chairman, somewhere in this bill you have to account for a huge cost overrun at the Veterans Affairs facility in Colorado. The chairman of the House Veterans Affairs Committee, your counterpart in the House, Congressman Jeff Miller, has looked at that issue, including a number of hearings, and that hospital is almost $1 billion over its original budget. Where do you find that in a bill like this?
That's one hell of a cost overrun. I mean, you look at our military construction, our major military construction budget is about 560 some odd million, and the cost overrun of this project is nearly double the annual line item we have for major construction annually. I mean, it's just staggering. This is just at one hospital, and that's not the only hospital. We've had problems too in Las Vegas, New Orleans, and Orlando. And elsewhere, but I mean, we've had some very serious overruns at these sites, and this is just the Denver facility or the Aurora facility was starting out somewhere around $350 million initially. Now we're already $800 million into this hospital, and over $930 million additional are needed to complete it.
How do you go about accounting for that when you're learning about it pretty much literally as we're marking up the bill?
One thing we did in the bill is that we flat funded the major construction line item. We held it at level funding, which the administration has called a cut and then is offended that we didn't increase spending there. And my answer to them is, given this level of gross mismanagement and construction malpractice, how could they expect an increase? I mean, how could they? I mean, they have to get their they have to clean up their own shop first. I mean, these are epic management failures, They're not going to be solved by simply shoveling more money into these mismanaged projects. I mean, it gets to the point, you know, how much good money should we throw after bad?
You reference Congressman Bishop, your ranking member, in the notes that you put out about this bill and the information therein. What's the collaboration process like among your colleagues on the Republican side and your counterparts on the Democratic side in your subcommittee, sir?
Well, I would say that our committee works in a very bipartisan basis. Congressman Bishop and his staff have been, you know, excellent partners as we've put this bill together. You know, as I mentioned last night during floor remarks, you know, the legislation we put together was certainly very bipartisan. You know, we considered 715 member requests when drafting the bill, and truthfully, 562 of them were from Democratic members, and so we did our best to accommodate our Democratic colleagues to the best of our ability in the bill, and I think they would agree that we did. That's the good news. So we worked together. You know, the only unfortunate part of this whole process is not any of the congressional Democrats, really. It's been the Secretary of the VA and the administration, who overly politicized this bill. We're providing for a 6% increase, and they seemed to suggest that that wasn't sufficient. They wanted an 8% increase, and wanted to do battle over that. And the president is upset because of the budget caps that are a law that he signed, and he's concerned about that. The problem is, I'm certainly very much open to revisiting the budget caps and the sequester, but that's not going to be dealt with in the context of the appropriations bill dealing with the Veterans Administration, and they know that. And I know that. And, if the president doesn't like the budget caps, he shouldn't have signed them into law.
How would you like to see the budget caps dealt with? What would that process look like in your view? Would it happen simultaneous with the appropriations bills that your colleagues on the committee will put out? Or would you like to see the appropriations bills dealt with and then somebody, some group, some conglomeration of members look at the BCA? How would you like to see that go?
But what I'd like to see happen at some point, there needs to be a dialogue between the House, Senate leadership, and the president. And the idea would be to try to craft some kind of Ryan Murray budget agreement like we had in the last year until the end of the Obama administration. Call it Ryan Murray 2.0. But there would have to be a negotiation between House, Senate, and the president to better balance the sequester, moving some of the cuts from the discretionary programs and moving them onto the mandatory or entitlement accounts. I believe that would be the better way to deal with this. Now, that's going to be subject to a negotiation. It's not going to be dealt with unilaterally by the Appropriations Committee. It will, and that's what needs to happen. And that process, I believe, should begin soon. It's not going to happen in the budget process because the budget does not get signed into law. The budget really cannot change the caps. Those are signed into law. So bottom line is sometime between now and the fall, there's going to need to be a negotiation that would revisit, the sequester.
Mr. Chairman, I'm grateful for your time today. I know you're very busy, and I thank you very much for coming on to talk about the work that your subcommittee has done. Congratulations on this.
Thank you so much, and I just want to say I really appreciate all the good work of the men and women who every day are serving our veterans at the VA and all our, also in our military health system, too, around the world. There are a lot of people doing important work, and despite these systemic and structural challenges, there are a lot of good people within the system.